On today's episode, we're talking Binance raid confusion, security token mining challenges, and Tezos outperforming. It's November 22nd, and you're listening to Markets Daily. I'm Adam B. Levine, editor of podcasts here at CoinDesk, along with our senior markets reporter, Brad Cowan, to give you a concise daily briefing on crypto markets and some of the most important news developments in the crypto space over the last 24 hours. Bitcoin is plunging for the second straight day, down 10% over the past 24 hours to $7,070, the lowest since May. And pretty much the entire cryptocurrency sector is getting crushed today as well. Ethereum is down 11% to $145, and XRP from Ripple is down 5% to about 23 cents. And all of this comes as traditional financial markets are holding up pretty well this morning. S&P futures pointing towards an open up 0.2%, gold and silver are both higher, and treasury yields are little changed, around 1.8%. The British pound and the euro are also changed little versus the US dollar. So it seems to be, generally speaking, business as usual in traditional financial markets while we're seeing this big sell-off in crypto today. We kind of often try to ascribe motives to what's going on in the markets, and as we know, these markets are so complex that it's actually really hard to find sort of single motivators or really anything else, whether before the fact or after the fact. Still, it's interesting to look or to think about what traders are thinking about today with all of this sort of chaos going around.
Just to look at the market and try to glean what the market is telling us here, we had a big pop in Bitcoin prices in late October when China President Xi Jinping came out and said that the country planned to embrace blockchain, which of course is the technology underpinning cryptocurrencies as a core technology. And that spurred a lot of enthusiasm in this sector, people thinking that if blockchain was going to benefit in China, which of course is the world's second largest economy, that Bitcoin as the largest cryptocurrency would benefit as well. Since then, Adam, the messages from the Chinese authorities have been a bit more mixed. They came out shortly after that initial announcement and tried to tamp down some of the speculation that had been spurred, both in terms of the cryptocurrencies and the digital assets themselves, but also stocks in companies that have some sort of business in the crypto industry. What we're seeing yesterday is some additional confusion. The Block, which is a major crypto-focused publication, reporting that Chinese authorities raided the Shanghai office of Binance recently, and Binance is one of the world's biggest crypto exchanges, and that the office was then forcibly closed. Now, Adam, a spokesperson for Binance, which is headquartered in Malta, by the way, but has some of its key executives working in China, told CoinDesk in an email, quote, "Rumors of a police raid are false, and we do not have a Shanghai office." Now, the editor of The Block has since tweeted that it's correct that Binance doesn't have an office in Shanghai because it was shut down. At any rate, all this highlights what is happening in China and crypto, which is people are very confused as to what the official Chinese policies are and what the relative position is going to be of the various companies that are doing crypto in China. Joe DePasquale of crypto hedge fund Bitbull Capital told CoinDesk in an email that this recent move seems to undercut some of that positive sentiment, as we're saying. He says, since China is a major player in the crypto space, any anti-crypto actions taken by the government impact the market strongly. He said, yeah, as we believe a continuation of the downward trend is likely. So that is apparently one of the factors that, according to DePasquale, is weighing on the market today.
Now, turning to stories that don't necessarily impact the market today, but which are really part of a broader narrative that we're sort of watching as a whole, one of the challenges in cryptocurrency has been to use the technology in a way that is legal. Specifically, this became an issue during the ICO boom, which started in 2017 and really kind of petered out by the end of 2018, as it became obvious that many of the things that people and companies had been doing would not stand up under scrutiny from regulators and would in fact lead to kind of problems down the road. Blockstack is a company that went about this a different way. They actually went through all the diligence. They spoke with the SEC. They spent probably millions of dollars to be compliant and to create a token, which they were legally allowed to sell to people who were not accredited investors, which typically is a major limitation. Now, you'd think that this would result in Blockstack's problems largely being resolved. And they are, to a certain extent, on the financial side, as they are one of the few companies out there which does not have the sort of Damocles sword of when and whether or not the SEC will think that they're important enough to come after. Now, the problem specifically that Blockstack has had is not that legality. It's a question of, once you have that legality, how do you make it work in a traditional decentralized cryptocurrency blockchain? Typically, what happens is that a miner will be paid effectively automatically by the blockchain in exchange for providing the work of powering that blockchain. But the challenge here is that in Blockstack's case, that token that they would be awarded with is a legal security. When you transfer legal security, there are specific requirements that come along with that. And so Blockstack has been faced with a problem where they either need to take away the permissionless part of their system and instead get information from and register miners, or they need to use one of these other sort of exemptions to create effectively a new class of token or a new type of distribution for it in order to get around that. Typically, in a cryptocurrency blockchain, this is effectively a solved problem. Systems like Bitcoin, literally, this is what powers them and this is what they do. But once you add in that regulatory burden to them, where before these can be systems where people come and go, now actually they're systems where a lot more trust, a lot more identity, and a lot more compliance is required. It's not to say that this is impossible, but it is to say that it's a very interesting narrative that we're seeing develop, where you basically have projects that are inside the US who are facing an ever-increasing burden and discovering ever more problems that come along with the challenges and the advantages of being legal in the eyes of the US government. And then you have projects that are located outside of the US, which don't put themselves under the US jurisdiction, and which really seem like they have quite a lot of freedom to pursue these more novel approaches to things. Now, I don't know what this is going to mean in the long term, but for Blockstack, it's a problem that they have to solve. And the advantage to us is that we get to see how they solve it, and then we get to see how it works without having to go through the challenges ourselves. So, you know, there's certainly going to be more to this story, but for now, what we can say is that this illustrates the challenges of being legal and of being compliant in this space, and really of the kind of ongoing journey that many companies are on trying to find the right balance between completing the project in the way that they need to complete it and also paying attention to rules and following the instructions from regulators. Certainly, this isn't the end of this story. So now we'll go to Brad for today's market highlight. Today, focusing on Tezos, also known as the Tezzy, which has held up remarkably well amid this sell-off in the broader cryptocurrency complex.
That's right, Adam. We're looking at Tezos today, which has outstanding market valuation of $855 million. It's an okay amount of money in the cryptocurrency space. Of course, it's much, much smaller than Bitcoin, whose market value is over $100 billion. Tezos has really held up its value in recent days and actually over the past month as Bitcoin and the broader cryptocurrency complex have sold off. One of the things that makes Tezos interesting, it uses what's called proof of stake consensus, a little bit different from proof of work consensus mechanism that is used by Bitcoin. And some people say that this could be an improvement for certain applications. There's also been some news on Tezos recently. Last week, CoinDesk's Will Foxley reported that a Swiss crypto-related firm would start a new exchange-traded product tracking Tezos. And Alliance Investments recently employed Tezos for tokenizing real estate contracts amounting to nearly $650 million. And another thing that people like about Tezos is that it offers what's known as staking rewards, which is sort of like getting paid interest on your deposits held at a bank account. Earlier this month, Coinbase, which is a big cryptocurrency exchange, said it would allow general users to earn rewards by simply holding Tezos. And according to Coinbase, that works out to an estimated 5% annual return. A research analyst at the data provider Messari told CoinDesk that, quote, Tezos is quietly becoming a viable option for the issuance of tokenized securities. And actually, Ethereum, which is the second largest cryptocurrency by market value, is slated to transition to proof of stake in its next iteration, Ethereum 2.0, early next year. Now, in the markets, the Tezzy is down just 4.6% over the past 24 hours, which is less than half of Bitcoin's drop. And just in November, it's up 36%, as we said before, is the most among digital assets with a market value of at least $200 million. Over that same period, Bitcoin is down 23%. The point here being, Adam, that as the cryptocurrency complex in general has a very, very severe downdraft. There are some gems to be found.
You've been listening to Markets Daily. Join us again on Monday for the next episode from CoinDesk. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Adam.